Chapter 16. A few hours later, the remaining slots on the scoreboard began to fill up, one after another, in rapid succession. Not with avatar names, but with IOI employee numbers. Each would appear with a score of 5,000 points, which now appeared to be the fixed value for obtaining the copper key. Then the score would jump by another 100,000 points a few hours later, once that sixer had cleared the first gate. By the end of the day, the scoreboard looked like this. High scores. Number 1, Parzival, 110,000. Number 2, Artemis, 109,000. Number 3, H, 108,000. Number 4, Daito, 107,000. Number 5, Shoto, 106,000. Number 6, IOI, 655321, 105,000. Number 7, IOI, 643187, 105,000. Number 8, IOI, 621671, 105,000. Number 9, IOI, 678324, 105,000. Number 10, IOI, 637330, 105,000. I recognized the first Sixer employee number to appear because I'd seen it printed on Sorrento's uniform. He'd probably insisted that his avatar be the first to obtain the copper key and clear the gate, but I had a hard time believing he'd done it on his own. There was no way he was that good at Joust, or that he knew war games by heart, but I now knew that he didn't have to be. When he reached a challenge he couldn't handle, like winning at Joust, he could just hand control of his avatar off to one of his underlings. And during the War Games challenge, he'd probably just had someone feeding him all of the dialogue via his hacked immersion rig. Once the remaining empty slots were filled, the scoreboard began to grow in length, to display rankings beyond 10th place. Before long, 20 avatars were listed on the scoreboard, then 30. Over the next 24 hours, over 60 Sixer avatars cleared the first gate. Meanwhile, Ludus had become the most popular destination in the Oasis. Transport terminals all over the planet were spitting out a steady stream of Gunters who then swarmed across the globe, creating chaos and disrupting classes on every school campus. The Oasis Public School Board saw the writing on the wall, and the decision was quickly made to evacuate Ludus and relocate all of its schools to a new location. An identical copy of the planet, Ludus II, was created in the same sector, a short distance away from the original. All students were given a day off from school, while a backup copy of the planet's original source code was copied over to the new site, minus the Tomb of Horrors code Halliday had secretly added to it at some point. Classes resumed on Ludus II the following day, and Ludus was left for the Sixers and Gunters to fight over. News spread quickly that the Sixers were encamped around a small, flat-topped hill at the center of a remote forest. The tomb's exact location appeared on the message boards that evening, along with screenshots showing the force field the Sixers had erected to keep everyone else out. These screenshots also clearly showed the skull pattern of the stones on the hilltop. In a matter of hours, the connection to the Tomb of Horrors D&D module was posted to every single Gunter message board. Then, it hit the news feeds. All of the large Gunter clans immediately banded together to launch a full-scale assault on the Sixers' force field, trying everything they could think of to bring it down or circumvent it. The Sixers had installed teleportation disruptors, which prevented anyone from transporting inside the force field via technological means. They had also stationed a team of high-level wizards around the tomb. These magic users cast spells around the clock, keeping the entire area encased in a temporary null magic zone. This prevented the force fields from being bypassed by any magical means. The clans began to bombard the outer force field with rockets, missiles, nukes, and harsh language. They laid siege to the tomb all night, but the following morning, both force fields remained intact.